Good morning, church.
Buenos días, iglesia. Y feliz año nuevo. Happy New Year. 2020 is upon us. You know, I remember the year 2000, but I said in 2000, it can't go beyond that, okay? I mean, it's the end of the world. Well, we're 20 years post end of the world, guys. We are in the year 2020. And, wow, it's great to be here. It's great to be here. Great to see everybody this morning. And every year is a brand new reason to have every new year is a brand new reason to try to have a great year, to have a New Year's resolution. Many don't last for the first week, the first day perhaps, but it's good to try. And so I like to launch every year with ideas myself to grow spiritually. I want to grow spiritually. I want to become a better person. I want to be a better minister. And so I want to grow this year myself. And so that is the theme of this year for me. And what I hope to project to the body of Christ here is to grow. And I have a little acronym here, GROW, G-R-O-W, that I hope that this year we can be giving people, repenting people, obeying people, and working people. Now, y'all may say, I don't want to work more. I work too much. But working for the body of Christ, working for church, working for the Lord is a pleasurable thing. It's a great thing. We actually gain energy by working for the Lord. But yes, grow. Last week I gave the introduction to this 4-week theme for January. I gave a lot of details about that last Sunday. The sermon should be up at some point because Mark's back, so hopefully the sermon will be up. Please, if you were not here last week, listen to last week's sermon, if possible. I gave a lot of details about what I want to do for 2020. But I will give a little review right now, real quick, just for my ideas to grow, for growth this year, what my ministry will be this year, and hopefully y'all can join in with this ministry. And so again, there will be 4 weeks in January talking about grow. Today is giving. Next week, Lord willing, Glenn Dalkey will talk about repenting. After that, obeying, and then working. We also want to put growth into action this year. We want to grow and prove it by our actions. And so I'm happy that we have a huge project, January 25th, Feeding the Homeless, in a project called Hope Cafe. I've emailed the church video about that. It's a pretty big deal. And we needed 40 people. Man, I'm happy to say we only need 4 more people now, as of now. As we speak right now, I only need 4 more people. So if you want to jump in quick. It's going to go, apparently. I had my concerns. I thought maybe we wouldn't have enough people. Now I'm concerned we would have too many again. But there are 4 slots remaining. So if you're not signed up yet, let me know real quick. Sign up in the back there if need be. Text me, email me. I did check the board, so I had those names down. But we have 4 places remaining. And they told me if we come close to 40, they have staff. So technically, we have enough, which is wonderful. But I would love to have 4 more people from the body of Christ or your friends. I've been asked, can I bring friends? Yes, bring friends. Yes, let's show what Christianity is. Let's glorify God. Let's be light of the world. Bring your friends. So if you have 4 friends, if you're 4 people, if you're a family of 4, whatever, let's get these 4 things lined up to do Hope Cafe, 3 hours on a Saturday, January 25th. Feeding the homeless in an awesome environment. So it's rewarding. It's wonderful, okay, that we do these things. And I plan to do something like that, probably not 40 people every month, but something like that every month of this year. But also, that will launch us into, Lord willing, small groups in February. So now that we have January 25th taken care of, I will now begin to bother people about small groups. So don't be surprised if I call you this week, contact you, asking you, if you're willing to teach or to host small groups this year, which you want to begin in February, and we want to have 52 weeks of small groups, a year straight, for the first time I've been here, a whole year of small groups, having to do with the theme of growth, of grow. 13 lessons for every letter here. Giving, repenting, obeying, working. I have all the lessons already lined up. There's an outline for all of them. A few of them are in detail, but rest assured, every teacher who wants to teach will have every lesson for them prepared if they want to use those lessons. It's not a force, but there's material for every single one of these lessons. So I just need people who are willing to teach people who are willing to host. Small group was amazing last year. We did it for 3 months last year. It was amazing. So we decided to do it for a whole year this year to grow. Through all the benefits of small groups that I described last Sunday in the sermon. And just also to note, please note, that once we begin small groups in February, there will be no longer Sunday nights here at the church. There will be no longer a Sunday night class here at church because we'll be having more classes throughout the week through small groups. And I believe there will be small groups meeting on Sunday nights because it's a very good night to have small groups. But again, last week I went into more detail about these 4 points. Today I want to focus on the first letter of our acronym here about GROW, giving. I want to talk about giving today. And the theme verse I gave last week for giving was Psalm chapter 1. Let's read Psalm 1 again. The very first psalm. All the psalms are great, but this is one of my favorites. The writer says, we're not sure if it's David or not, but it sounds like David, but it says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly. But the path of the wicked leads to destruction." And I want to focus on verse 3. They bear fruit. People of God are bearing fruit. So if we're to compare ourselves to this tree, why do trees bear fruit? Have you thought about it at one point? Why do trees bear fruit? And if your answer is because the fruit tastes good and it's really pretty, I would agree with you. Those are the reasons why trees bear fruit, because we can eat of those trees. And fruits are beautiful. There's just a variety of fruits out there. We consider all of them. I personally love fruits. If I can eat fruits, only fruits, I would be very, very happy to do so. I love fruits very much. I have a tragic love affair with oranges, however, because I love oranges, but oranges don't love me back. I love oranges. I don't see why it's fair that, for me, oranges are the best fruit of all, but I'm allergic to them somehow. And that's not right. I think that's wrong. I had to talk about God with that. I love oranges, but it's sad. But why do we have fruits? Why are they there? Because they're great to look upon. They're great to eat. I mean, trees, all they have to do is drop seeds if possible, if need be. But no, God ordained that trees also give fruits. They are attractive. They're beautiful. They give us nourishment. When I look at a fruit, I think of God giving us gifts. It's a gift to us. They don't have to be so pretty. They don't have to taste so good. But God loves us. He gave them to us. He gave them to his humanity so that we can enjoy them. Again, seeds are very important, obviously, to produce more. Seeds are great. Seeds are necessary. But God also ordained that these seeds are in fruits. And I want to take that analogy today and run with it. You see, a little side story about how important it is that trees bear fruit. There's a story in the Bible where Christ got angry with the tree because it wasn't bearing fruit. Let's read that story. Mark 11, beginning in verse 12. Now, was Christ just emotional that day, or is there a lesson here? Mark 11, beginning in verse 12. He was quite emotional, though. This is called the Passion Week. Okay, this is that week before Christ went to the cross, and a lot of things happened. A lot of very passionate things happened that week. He was going through the city on the back of a donkey. He cleared the temple that week. And then that very same week, we have this story here, Mark 11, beginning in verse 12. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf, a healthy full leaf fig tree, little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. And Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. So, wow, were you in a bad mood this morning? Jesus, what did the tree do wrong? I mean, it was even too early to bear fruit. Why are you so mad at that tree? Clearly, there's a lesson here that Christ wants us to have. And then he goes to the temple, and there's that story of clearing the temple, which has its own things behind it. But later on, he would go back to that tree. Mark 11, verse 20. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it. It had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on a previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'May it be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." But still, Jesus, why did you curse that tree? Why? What did the tree do wrong? What's going on here? Well, here's the thing. That tree, in Christ's eyes, it was an example. It was a fully grown tree that should be bearing fruit. And if it does not bear fruit, Christ said, "Well, why are you here then? Why is this tree here? It's not doing its job." You see, bearing fruit is a Christian sign that we are growing. Bearing fruit is a Christian sign that we are growing. Notice there is no command to bear fruit. There's no command that we should bear seeds per se. Although, again, seeds are very important, but we don't have that command. There are no seeds of the Spirit per se. There are fruits of the Spirit. Again, I may be nitpicking here, but I think there's something here to it. This is what ministers do. We nitpick. They find analogies like this. There's fruits of the Spirit. Why is that? Now again, Matthew 13, 1 through 9 talks about how seeds are very important. I don't want to underestimate that. Matthew 13, 1 through 9 is a parable of the four soils, if you will. Let's go to verse 3. It says, "A farmer went out to plant some seeds." That's kind of what we were called to do as a church. "As he scattered them among the fields, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Others fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. So other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as he had planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." This is the kingdom of God. This is what we at one point were those seeds growing up, but now we are called to also deliver that seed. We're also to duplicate, if you will, our experience of Christianity. We want other people to go through what we went through. So seeds are, if you will, the literal process of us bringing other people to the Lord, which is supposed to be our desire and passion. Seeds are the ultimate expression, if you will, of Christianity. It's the hardcore Christianity expressed. John 12, 24 is a beautifully tragic. It's beautiful, but it's tragic. Talking about what is required to grow. John 12, 24, we're to mimic Christ. Well, here's what Christ said about his life. And we're called to also give our lives for the Lord. Living sacrifices, if you will. Christ says, "I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." That's the end game scenario, if you will, that we are living sacrifices. We too should be doing these things on a regular basis, giving up our lives, giving up ourselves towards his glory while being alive. But fruits are beautiful. They're attractive. They're bright. So yes, we are called to make more people like ourselves, but we should do so by bearing fruit. That we are that tree analogy, we also are giving, delivering fruit from ourselves, from our lives, that the gospel that we preach is beautiful, it's bright, and it's attractive. That's exactly what it is. It's the good news. But that gospel is only given because we have proven and are showing the fruits of the Spirit. So if we bear fruit, we're losing nothing because, again, these fruits should contain seeds. Okay? What we're delivering also contains that gospel, that truth, that evangelism, but it comes through these fruit. If we're going to successfully spread these seeds, we have to do so from within the beautiful fruits that we are called to bear. The fruits of the Spirit, if you will. Again, I don't see seeds of the Spirit. I see fruits of the Spirit. What are they? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I want to go through these fruits, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and explain why it requires the Holy Spirit to do these things. You see, before we were Christians, we tried to be good people. And we were almost good. We did good things. But they were worldly good things. They were good things everybody can do because they didn't require the Holy Spirit. But now that we are Christians, we are called to be especially good. We are called to be good beyond what the world can do. This is why these things are called the fruits of the Spirit. They're not fruits of just being a good person. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is required that we have the Holy Spirit to do these things. And the Bible says, if you believe in him, and if you repent, and if you are baptized in the name of Jesus, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So upon that baptism, here are the things that we're supposed to be giving out to other people. Showing, demonstrating. And again, these are not natural things. These are supernatural things. These things we can only do as Christians. And let's break down why. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. First of all, love. I discovered that as a Christian, I can love in ways I can never love as a non-Christian. Before I became a Christian, love always was, I give, but I better receive as well. Love was always about feeling good as well. It was a matter of, it felt good to show love. I thought love always had to involve feeling good, but Christ demonstrated a different kind of love, didn't he? His love was sacrifice. He gave his life not expecting anything back. And also, that sacrifice involved pain. And I've recognized when I express love, real love, it's going to involve sacrifice. And quite oftentimes, it can also involve pain. But you know what also love is? See, before we became Christians, it was easy to love people that loved us or to love good people. But God says, Christ says, love your enemies. Ah, this is why God said after, love your enemies, be perfect as I am perfect. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you right now, you cannot love your enemies without the Holy Spirit. That's why it says the fruit of the Spirit, the first one, is love. Let's talk about joy for a second. Now, joy means having this level of peace, contentment, happiness inside our heart and soul, despite bad circumstances. Let me also say, this is impossible if we're not Christians. If you see somebody who is not a Christian and they're happy, or they say they're happy, despite the world falling apart around them, I would say there's maybe something wrong with them because there's no reason to be happy without Christ. But with Christ, we have the blessed assurance. With Christ, we actually count it all joy when we go through difficult things because we know these things also contribute to our endurance, to our strength. As Christians, difficult things actually contribute to our growth. That's why this joy that we're talking about here, this bad thing's going on in the world right now. There's like war going on right now, literally speaking. So how in the world can a Christian say to have joy? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit that we have joy. It's only possible through the fruit of the Spirit. We give that love. We give that joy. We give that peace. I love the peace of God. It's kind of the same thing. The peace of God, Paul says, beyond all understanding. You know what that means? That means it doesn't make sense to have peace in God. Because look around you, you say, I should not have peace. Okay? Evidence shows me that I should be stressed out. Evidence shows me that I should be worried. Evidence shows me that I should have doubts and fears. But if I had the Holy Spirit and I'm showing this, I can actually have peace despite all these things. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we can show these things, give these things, give these things to each other. Patience. Oh boy, that's, hey. I am only able to show patience through God. I tell you right now. It's impossible without God. I'm not a patient person. This is exactly my weakness right here, patience. But with God, I can be patient. With God, I can wait upon the Lord through him. It's supernatural power. I can't do it myself. Kindness. The Bible says never let integrity and kindness never leave you. To be kind at all times, truly kind. Turn to the other cheek. Loving my enemies. Season my words with salt. Only the Holy Spirit. Goodness. Well, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? To be truly a good person. To be good, to have integrity. Integrity means that if you open me up, I may look good on the outside, but as you open me up, I'm also good on the inside. It's not just fake goodness. The Holy Spirit comes inside of me and changes me inside, so that also I'm good inside as well. Faithfulness, to be consistent, to be steadfast, to keep doing the same good thing week by week over and over again. Men of God, woman of God that we can depend upon, that requires the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's just one thing about the world I know for sure is that they're not consistent. Nothing in the world is consistent. Nothing is. It's just, you can't depend upon anything in the world. But Christians, man, we should be people who are faithful and true. We can only do so because through God, through His strength and power. Gentleness. Another weakness of mine. Another reason why I'm happy I'm married, because Nicole is my gentle side, for sure. To be able to stand for what is right, to stand for what is true, to speak what is right and still be gentle, oh boy, that's a task. That's a power. That's maturity. But with the Holy Spirit, we can do so. And guys, we should be giving these things to each other, giving these things to the world. The Bible says if somebody asks you a reason why you believe about Christ, to respond with truth, but also being gentle. Some people think, speak the truth no matter what. I don't care how it sounds, speak the truth. Hammer on their head, speak the truth. Let me tell you right now, Christians are not made that way. I tried it. I was that way. I used to tear anybody up in debate. Oh yeah, it was so good back in my college days. No Christians came as a result of that. None. So I won, but I won nothing. But if we are people who are gentle and add that to our Christianity, add that to our words, you're going to see people respond, feed upon that, love that, grow with that. We give all these things. And finally, self-control. This is truly something only the Holy Spirit can give, self-control. This is it right here. Because you have to understand, before Christ, we acted like wild. See, the term wild, like wild animals, we call animals wild because they don't have control. They do what they want to do. They're animals. You know, when an animal is tamed, they become a pet. They're different. We have given them control. But even so, they are only controlled because we say so. Animals only do what we say because of the threat of punishment that they don't do it. Animals could, they always be wild. But to live in our households, we say, we train them, usually involving pain or punishment of some sort, to say, you gotta not act this way to be tamed. We too are like wild animals before we're Christians. You see, before we were Christians, there were powers and forces that were too strong for us. We could not resist, overcome them. Whether it be our emotions, whether it be our bodies, whether it be our passions, despite our best intentions, we could not stop it because we're not able to. There's no power against them. Sin is more powerful than we are. So if we're living according to our sinful passions, read Galatians 5 earlier on here. Galatians 5:19, just a few verses earlier, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. These are things you can't stop these things before. But now that we are Christians, we can stop that, and we can show self-control. We have to give that to each other, show that to each other, bless each other with our self-control. All these things are fruits of the Spirit. All these things are beautiful. They are attractive, and they help us to grow by giving them to each other, receiving them from each other. As I said two or three weeks ago, as Christians, we're going to sin, but we don't have to sin anymore. We're going to sin. It's going to happen. But we can say no to things now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm running out of time already. Man, if we bear fruit, other people will be blessed by our gifts of this fruit. Within that fruit, again, are seeds, which means to me, if we want to have other people becoming Christians, we have to first give them those fruits I just read, the fruits of the Spirit. We got to show them these things. Bless each other with these things. And by the way, we don't stop showing these things once we become a Christian. We keep showing these things to each other within the church. Guys, we should be treating each other as well as treating anybody else. Sometimes I see in some churches, they treat people outside better than each other. Have you heard the expression, familiarity breeds contempt? If I know you, I treat you worse. How does that make sense? Not in the Bible. The Bible says a church should be the place where all these fruits are shown over and over again. Paul said, I would do all things for all people to save a few. I also believe we should do all things for all people to keep a few, to keep a few with us. It involves us showing each other these fruits of the Spirit within our church. If we are brother and sister to each other, show each other these fruits of the Spirit. And again, I love fruit. I eat fruit on a regular basis. Nicole knows I eat fruit on a regular basis. I love it. Guys, but I don't eat fruit only on the brink of death. I don't only eat fruit when I need to eat fruit. I eat fruit to maintain my sustenance, to maintain my health. Not when I need to or when I'm dying. That's church. Always show each other these fruits. Not only when we need to or when it's a crisis. Don't pray hard when only a problem's going on. Don't love hard only when it's difficulty. Don't show joy. Don't show self-control only in bad times. No, do it in great times. Do it in abundance. Do it during peace. Do it during war. Always show these things. We live on these things. This should be our diet, these fruits of the Spirit. Again, if we are not growing, we are not bearing these fruits. We're not bearing these fruits. Again, I think this is why Christ was angry. He was spiritually angry with this analogy. Maybe he was saying to himself, you yourself, you're here. You're grown, you're fully in leaf, and you're not giving? You're here, you're with us. You call yourself a Christian, you're baptized, but you're not giving yet? What are you, keeping it to yourself? Why are you not blessing each other with what God has blessed you with? Why are you not blessing somebody with how, because we all became Christians because somebody showed us and gave us the fruits of the Spirit. It's weird to say, but you can literally be saved and not bear fruit. It's kind of a strange thing. You could be in a state of being a Christian and not show fruits of the Spirit. It's possible. It shouldn't be possible, but it is possible. But the idea of a Christian who does not bear fruit equals a Christian who is still focused on themselves. I've always said the very last time you're selfish is when you're baptized. That's it. That's it. Peter said, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Okay, be baptized, save yourself. But from that point on, I don't see much evidence in the Bible of saying take care of yourself anymore. From that point on, it's very group idea thinking. Take care of each other. Bless each other. Love each other. What can you do to bless other people? That's what I see in the Bible. So how are we still focused on ourselves if we're not bearing these fruits? You know, it's actually possible as Christians to willfully not grow. To say, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to grow anymore. We can actually do that. Here's why I know this. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. The writer's saying, man, why are you not growing anymore? You're supposed to grow. He even says, you're supposed to be teachers. See, here's the thing. James will say, be careful about being a teacher because you know if you're a teacher, you have a harsher judgment. But we are all called to teach something. We are all called to give something. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, the writer's saying, there is much more we would like to say about this, he says, but it's difficult to explain because you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. You ought to be giving. Instead, you need someone to teach you again, to give you again the basic things of God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. You know, some of us are Toys R Us Christians, you know. Okay, it's an old joke because some of y'all are not old enough, but in the 80s they had a commercial, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. Okay, I want to willfully stay young because I keep getting toys. I think some Christians may be like that. I don't want to grow up. I want to keep receiving gifts. I want to keep just being prayed for. I want to keep just being taken care of. I don't want to actually go out there and pray for others. I don't want to actually bear upon myself burdens of other people's lives. I don't want to actually sacrifice and give of myself. That hurts. No, I don't want to do that. Let's grow up, guys. Let's be Christians and give the fruits of the Spirit of which we're baptized into. How long can a tree be saved but bear no fruit? I don't know how long it can go on, but it can't go on forever. I assure you of that. This is why Christ told the olive tree, it's a warning, it can't go. And then we had the classic Matthew 3:10, of course. Many verses say that if we don't bear fruit, at some point, we get cut down. Matthew 3:2, even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. At some point, if we're not, and I don't even think it's necessarily a result of an action. I think it's a natural consequence that if we're not moving, if we're not giving, if we're not doing, we eventually going to grow stale and just fall off on our own. I personally think so. You ask me, how do I have more faith? How do I get more faith? Act faithfully. Do faithful things. How do I bear fruit? How do I become more spiritual? Well, give spiritually. Give the fruits of the Spirit. Here's a few analogies, a few things that say the same thing for different points of view. Christianity is an action, and it must be moving and working to stay alive. The Bible says we are light of the world. Did you know that light is always moving? Light is always moving at the speed of light. If it ever stops, it is not light. And Christ said that we are light of the world. So I love that. We should always be moving, or we're not light. Something else, but we're not light. A stream that isn't moving becomes nasty and stagnant. And Christ said to the Revelation church, he said, you're not hot or cold. Because you're not hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth, out of his body, body of Christ. And all of these things say the same exact thing as we close. If we don't grow, we will die. If we're not giving, we will die. Again, if we're not giving, if we're not growing, here's how to get back to that point. If you find ourselves not there anymore, here's how to get to that point. There are many answers to this question, but I want to keep it in theme, in verses here. Back to that first verse, Psalm 1. Psalm 1 describes how to do it. Let's go back there real quick. Psalm 1 describes how to be somebody who bears fruit. It says, verse 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. So you don't do what wicked people do. Don't stand around sinners. Don't join in with them. Don't join with mockers. But rather than do those things, we meditate on the word of God. We delight in the law. We love the Bible. And I pray we could all be people who love the Bible, love the word of God. I hope it's not like medicine you got to take every day. I got to read the Bible this morning. I pray that we love it and enjoy it. It is the center of our day. And if we get to that point, we love it that much. And you love things, the more you do things, you love it. The Bible says you begin to bear that spiritual fruit. I am out of time. I am looking forward next week to Glenn talking about the repenting as part 2 of our Grow series. I pray we could be inspired to do so in Jesus' name. And again, the Bible says, if you believe in him and are baptized in the name of Jesus, you will be saved. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.